Yeah, everybody looked. You know, you heard the crack, you heard the initial, and it was like everybody looked, and the building just dropped in front of your eyes. The ba-boom, just dropped in front of your eyes. Everybody kind of looked at everybody. And I went right back to work. It was like it was nothing happened. Well, we were too far to run. I mean, it wouldn't have made it. 47 stories were, it wouldn't have made it to us. But you didn't have time to run. The building was down. It came down when it decided to come down. It was down. It wasn't 100 and some odd stories. You know, when it decided, ba-boom, came down in a matter of couple of. I don't know what happened at the other end, closer to it. Did people run? Yeah, they could have. Yeah. Any removal was done with the utmost of respect. Everybody, you know, this is one of the things you do in the fire service or any of the emergency work services. I like to say all of them, but I know the fire service definitely. You try and treat an individual who is dead as though they're alive. You give them the utmost respect when you're able to. The utmost, you treat them just the same. You know, you go to put them on in a body bag. You don't drop them in the body bag. You pick them up gingerly. You support the head. You support their arms. You support their legs. And you place them in there very gingerly. Cross their arms if you know, and you close up the bag because it's still a person. You get them out. You may have to be a little rough depending on how they're situated to get them out of from what they're under maybe, or but as soon as they're free and they're going to be placed in a body bag or whatever was available, you treated that person with the utmost of respect. You didn't lollygag because there's a lot of work to be done, but you did not take and throw. It just doesn't work. I mean, I didn't see it anyhow. You know, the fire service, all the rigs have carry disposable body bags, and I don't know where they came from, but they were there. You know, I guess the firemen, just being what they are, there were rigs all over the place. Just grab whatever they could, and it wasn't always just a body bag. I mean, you had a Stokes basket, because you had to find something. A Stokes basket is just what it sounds like. It's a long basket affair. If you didn't have something to cover the person with, you'd look for a turnout coat. You'd look for clothing, their own clothing, something just to, you know, we're taught to cover them. Yeah, you try to, because you always want to do that. So that was the first day was difficult. Going home was difficult. I didn't want to go home at all, because I just didn't want to go home and face anybody. I knew I had to. It was late. It was dark, so it was late. It was still September, so it was. Daylight was still. I don't remember. You know, I had called home once or twice before I went home. You know, through the rest of the day, I waited for Dennis to get there, gave a couple of reports, just get everybody ready because, you know, at this point it doesn't sound too good. How did I get home? You're asking me questions here now. I got home by vehicle, fire department. I have to check with Brendan. How the hell did I go home with Brendan? Shit. I'm gonna have to find out how I got home. I'm pretty sure it was a fire. Pretty sure it was a fire. I'm positive it was a fire vehicle. Oh yeah, his Jeep was committed in Brooklyn, and I wasn't going back to Brooklyn to look for his Jeep and then not find him. I don't know if Brendan came home with me. I don't think he did. I'll have to investigate this now. You got me. Yeah, we haven't spoke about this. Really, to speak up, Brendan and I, you know, it's one of those. Anyhow, I got home. Yeah, it was late. It was late. The place was jammed with people.
Your house.
Oh, God. They were all outside. It was a beautiful day. It was a beautiful day. It was still warm. Everybody was sitting outside. You know, they're out in the backyard or in the house. Cars were all over the place. It was like, I didn't want to go there. Yeah, probably not well. I mean, I was covered in crap, I guess. Yeah. But, you know, I wasn't. I should have maybe concerned at the way they see me, but I was more concerned at what they were going to ask, because I knew what they definitely had to ask me. And I definitely had to make a response to it, you know? Not good. Grandkids. Well, Andrew, the little guy was only 3, Andrew was 9. 10. So he knew, you know, what was happening. The little guy didn't know, to speak up. And you're wired. Everybody stayed, of course, and they just stayed. All family members, friends come out of the woodwork, you know. Being in the fire department in Great Neck, you make a lot of friends. And just being in Great Neck all your life, you make a lot of friends. And people just showed up, to, you know, they heard about it. Yeah, it was a tough day. Every day was tough after that. Took a shower after when I was able to get, you know. I don't remember if I ate. I probably ate like a hog. I didn't eat all day. I made up my mind that, you know, the easiest thing to do is what a lot of guys did, which wasn't beneficial, is you work yourself ragged, and then you get a couple hours, and you work yourself ragged, and you get a couple hours, because then you're not functioning right. So I made a point to try to get at least, you know, 5 or 6 hours of sleep, and then go in and spend the day, and 5 or 6 hours, go in and spend the day, 5 or 6 hours. This way at least you have some rest, you focus better, you think better. You know, if you think about where you had to go and the cautiousness that you needed to have, and there was still, like, you know, you could unscrew your head every day for the first bunch of weeks, because there were things happening every day. There were so many episodes that happened every single day, and you have to remember what the site was like. For the first couple of months, it was helter-skelter type of, you know, holes and voids and big openings and valleys. One valley between West Street and getting onto the North Tower was like, wow, what a valley. There's some classic pictures that show it. You know, you wake up, especially that first morning, you wake up and you're kind of like, did this happen? What am I? And then it only takes a matter of a couple of seconds and you realize, yeah, yep, something's wrong. You get up, get dressed, took right off, went in. The second day I went in a little more prepared. Yeah, I brought my gear in with me. I said, well, okay, I've got to be prepared now. My turnout coat, boots, bunker gear, pants. You know, I had all my gear. Different type of boot to go with the bunker pants. So I went in just like I was going to work. Helmet. Nothing other than what I carried in my pocket. I knew there was going to be a lot of tools at the site, and the tools were there by the gobs. By the next day, by the 12th, you had tools starting to show up. You know, the Home Depots were bringing stuff in. You know, and then it's just a matter of what do we need? Because when I left the site, it was obvious the tools, moving the steel was nothing that you're going to carry in your pocket. No, you needed the heavy equipment to move. So the big things were a couple extra pair of gloves, because you want to make sure your hands are going to be protected. I had the luxury of having, you know, it was a luxury. The volunteer fire department in Great Neck gave me a vehicle immediately. The city fire department said, you know, I could have had a vehicle, you know, but I had a vehicle from Great Neck, so I wasn't going to. So I had a fire vehicle. And, you know, when they talk about security and everything, and that was really unusual there, too, because I had a fire vehicle and went right through all the lines. Coming over the bridge, second day, third day, fourth, fifth, sixth, seventh, eighth, ninth, tenth. Who came in with me? I got to remember who came in. Maybe Freddie Sager came in with me. Excuse me, Marty McTighe was probably with me. I don't remember the ride in. I would imagine if they were, you know, I was trying to explain what the site looked like, what we had done. We weren't stopped, never. I mean, stopped where they actually took us out of the car and searched. Someplace down the line, I forgot how long, how many months, maybe within the first month or so, depending where you were, who happened to be the guard, the cops or military that day, they might say, can you open up the back? So you'd open up the back, and there'd just be fire gear in the back and tools and whatnot. Okay. Yeah, so we were at the site every day with the fire vehicle. I went in. The second day was still getting things organized. It's where I wanted to go. I had, let me say, luxury. The guys that were retired kind of like had that luxury. We didn't have to report in. You know, they may not like to hear that, but I didn't have to report in. You know, so you did what you thought was best, you know, which was okay, because I want to go, you know, I want to go look in that hole over there. And you might find another dad or another guy you know on the job and say, what are you doing, Tom? You want to come with me? Yeah, okay. Hey, Lee, let's check that out over there. Okay, let's go. But we went up to the North Tower, the pile, which was about six stories high. People say eight, nine stories. It wasn't that high. It's maybe six stories high. This was a 111-plus story building that wound up being maybe six stories high in a pile, like a sand pile. Just picture a truck dumping the sand out. So we got up to the top. The six firemen that were in the stairwell, six or so firemen that were in the stairwell with the black woman that was coming down the stairs, they had already been taken out. I was there when they took them out the first day. But I said, let's go up to the stairwell. Okay, so we went up to the stairwell, went into the stairwell where they were. And it's amazing that stairwell, that is a mystery that I don't know who can answer it, how they did that, sat there. 111 stories of building collapsed, and they were sitting inside the building, and they lived. It's, you think about it now, your hair's got to stand up, because you had to see it to appreciate it.